Hello. H. Morgan here for Monitor with what we hope is an entertaining lineup of music, news, sports, comedy. In this half hour, we'll be hearing from Eddie Fisher. That's comedy. Gail Martin. A report on air pollution, which will be pretty funny. And just ahead, an interview with a man who became an explorer at the age of 16. First, Monitor music. Sunset Strings, with I'll Set My Love to Music. Now, a look at a young man of considerable courage, a new book about exploring in the Amazon country of South America, titled The Innocent Assassins, has been written by Fred Salazar, who began his training in jungle survival at a very early age. Reporter Charlie Holmes interviewed Mr. Salazar about his experiences.
Fred Salazar, three of you made this expedition into the jungle of the upper Amazon. What were your ages then?
Well, at the time, I was 21. Arnie Dietrich was about 21, and Jerry Falls was, I think, 22 at the time.
Well, how much experience did you have?
Well, I started in the jungle at the age of 16. On a summer vacation, I went down and visited my first tribe of Indians in South America and kept up every year from then on.
So the other two boys, did they have
any? No, this was their first time into the jungle, but I had gone before to other groups, and I'd already completed about 7 expeditions.
Well, what are the problems and dangers of jungle life for a white man? You have heat and insects and cold and reptiles and disease, and what are the big problems?
I think the biggest problem is keeping your mind in the right state, because, you know, you have boredom. After the first month or two, it becomes very, very boring because you're seeing the same thing all the time, and I think you sort of have to fix your mind to, you know, to a set way. And sort of take everything in, and you know, just wait until the exciting parts come up, because it isn't all exciting every minute of the time. No,
mm-hmm.
It does have some exciting parts to it, but it's not like I think picture to motion pictures all the time.
What is there to fear?
I think the biggest thing to fear, as far as the Amazon is concerned, is disease, because you've got so many different types of disease that are still existing down. You have the bubonic plague, which still exists in that part of the world. You have yaws and. God, you can go on and on with the diseases, but I think the biggest problem is malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Malaria mosquito.
In other words, animals.
Animals are not a problem, no.
Reptiles?
Reptiles, again, are not a great problem. I think in all the years I've been in the Amazon now, a total of about 9, I've seen probably 50 snakes.
You have to
go hunting for them.
Isn't the heat debilitating and demoralizing?
I think it is, but again, you know, after you've been down there a few months, you sort of get into the way the Latin acts. You know, he sort of takes life very easily and doesn't rush into the next thing.
You forget time.
Right. If you don't, you just don't survive. It's simple. Time, you know, there's no such thing as time at all.
I notice that most of your travel is done in the rainy season. Why is that?
Well, the best reason for that is because going up some of the sidearms of the Amazon, you can't go very far if there's no water to move your boats on.
I mean,
you've got so many rapids.
Talking about water reminds me of one little pest that would drive me crazy, I think, and that's the mosquito. And I believe you fellows had all sorts of bites and suffered with them quite a bit,
well,
didn't
well,
you?
Well, you know, it's funny, but it's not the mosquito so much, but the peon. The peon is some of a tenth of a millimeter. It's a bloodsucker. And when they land on you, they'll land maybe 1,000 or 2,000 at a time all over your body, such as the flies in the outback of Australia. You just can't see anymore, and they leave these little red welts on your body that have sucked your blood.
Mm.
But I think this is the biggest problem, not so much the mosquito.
One final question. What makes you want to take these dangerous trips into the jungle territory?
Well, I think I've tried to bring across the point that the jungle is not as dank and dangerous as we've been hearing about for the last 50 or 100 years. To me, it's a paradise. I think I feel very free in the jungle. I don't feel regimented in any way, not that I'm fighting regimentation, but the jungle, I think, to me, has a serenity, and it offers a calmness that you'll never find in civilization. I think very few men can really explain it. If anybody can, you have to go there and find out for yourself.
Thank you, Fred Salazar, explorer and author, for telling us about your experiences in the jungle of the Amazon, as detailed in your book, The Innocent Assassins. Please visit with us again after your next expedition, will you?
Thank you.
This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
Oh, yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. It's such a good feeling to wake up and know that somebody's heart goes wherever you go, that somebody's waiting with a sweet caress to bring you happiness. Oh, yes, it's people like you who bring sunny skies to people like me. And that's why people like me lose their hearts to people like you. Life used to be lonely, no roses and wine, but now that's all over, since you said you're mine. When somebody loved you, all at once you see how beautiful life can be. Oh, yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. Oh, yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. Oh, yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you.
Oh, yeah.
For People Like Us, the voice of E. Fisher with People Like You. At 17 minutes after the hour, just ahead, we'll be hearing about Yum Yum air pollution in Tokyo. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is your NBC station. This is the pulse of the nation.
Morgan here for Monitor with easy listening for your weekend entertainment. Here's an example, the voice of Gail Martin, And We Were Lovers.
I saw you smiling as if I could forget, and we were lovers the moment that we met. Golden sun.
On an international problem. Most of us tend to think of air pollution as something peculiar to the industrial cities of America. But other cities in other countries share this man-made menace to health, as NBC correspondent John Rich reports from Tokyo.
From Tokyo on a clear day, you can see Mount Fuji, at least until 10 o'clock in the morning. At that time, the 3,000 factory chimneys in this, the world's largest city, have pumped out enough smoke and fumes to blot out the sun and cut visibility to a few kilometers. Tokyo is not only the biggest city in the world, it's one of the dirtiest. Not just plain dirt, which the Western housewives living here complain of on their curtains and windowsills. The smog itself is not only dirty, but it is poisonous. Toxic gases have increased in recent years as the factories around the city change from coal to oil. The automobiles on the streets are also increasing tremendously. They blast out their share of fumes, especially in the downtown areas around Emperor Hirohito's moated palace. Police on duty at the worst corners sometimes have to wear gas masks. The imperial pine trees in the palace gardens are dying. Tokyo's famed cherry trees are wilting under the cloud of bad air. They aren't the only living things suffering. The polar bears in the Tokyo Zoo have turned a tattletale gray. And as for the 11 million human beings who live here, respiratory ailments have increased 2 or 3 times. The worst part is that little progress is being made against this man-made plague. The metropolitan government has installed measuring devices around the city, but these only report what every resident of Tokyo already knows, that the smog is bad. When it gets too bad, on those days when the ceiling comes down over the city, compressing the gases and making the eyes smart, then the authorities will broadcast a smog warning. But by then it is usually too late. It's on a voluntary basis, and so far the regulations here lack the teeth to make a dent in the situation. The only consolation for Tokyoites is the knowledge that bad as things may be in their hometown, there are at least 6 other Japanese cities even worse off. John Rich, NBC News, in Tokyo.
I'll monitor now the Serendipity Singers and Hawaii.
Thank you.
case of Congressman Adam Clayton Powell has been much in the news lately, and the end is not in sight. Congressman Powell will fight the ruling which deprived him of his House seat. But the outcome of the coming legal battle is still very much in doubt. NBC correspondent Richard Harkness takes a look at the dispute and its possible results.
Take a look ahead at the Adam Clayton Powell case, and you find enough legal questions to stump even a Philadelphia lawyer. For instance, the federal court suit that Powell will file shortly to have his exclusion from the House declared unconstitutional. On that point, the chairman of the Powell Investigating Committee, Representative Seller of Brooklyn...
You are eligible for membership in the House.
But suppose that Seller is wrong in that position. Powell will still have a course of action. That will be run in a special election called to fill his now vacant House seat. All politicians here agree that Powell will win easily. So Powell will undoubtedly be back before the House presenting his new election credentials asking to be sworn in. Well, there another question arises. The House resolution excluding Powell barred him from a seat during the entire 90th Congress, that is, through 1968. Well, it is likely that a single House member then can object when Powell seeks to be sworn in. Powell can be excluded a second time on a point of order. And clearly, if the House votes again on excluding Powell, the roll call will go the same way, exclusion. That may well start the whole process over again. There will be one more factor here. Attorneys at the Justice Department are presently reading the record of the Powell investigation. There is even a possibility of an FBI probe beyond the scope of the House inquiry. And already, unchallenged testimony alleges that Powell misappropriated $44,000 of congressional money plus those forged air travel vouchers. This is Richard Harkness, NBC News, Washington.
Footnotes on the troubles of Congressman Adam Clayton Powell.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try a lark.
There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Great smoke right eye chains.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Listening to Monitor, where you keep up to date on what's happening in the weekend world, no matter where you are, at home or in your car, anywhere in these United States. Serving eastern Montana and northern Wyoming, the area known as the Midland Empire, is station KGHL, Billings, Montana. Now time for identification from all our NBC stations around the country. Then we'll be around again with more of Monitor 67.
Monitor, your weekend companion, on the NBC Radio Network.
It's time to answer your doorbell and say yes to that Girl Scout selling cookies. It could just change the lives of countless young people in our community. Girl Scout cookies taste good, and they do good, too. Help support Greater New York Girl Scouts. Buy a box of cookies. It's 34 degrees and raining in Big Town. The big voice of Big Town, USA, WNBC, AM and FM, New York. The WNBC time, 2:30.
Monitor wants to extend a little sympathy to a group of young ladies in a suburb of London, England. The organization, known as the West Hartlepool Lonely Hearts Club, came up a bunch of losers earlier this week. They planned a meeting at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park to attract male suitors, but had to call it off because of rain. Still, any eligible suitor could do worse than to marry a member of the Hartlepool Lonely Hearts Club. At least they know enough to come in out of the rain.
Just think of things like daffodils and peaceful sheep on clover hills, the morning song of whippoorwills, and you'll see the face that I love. Think of any old sky getting ready to cry. Down comes the rain, but it's raining confetti. And think of things like far-off isles, to blue-green eyes and sunlit smiles. And in your hand, a wishing star, the one you thought too far above. Every lovely view introduces you to the face I love.
Morgan again from Monitor 67. The fifth day of the third month of 67, to be exact, which shouldn't bother you if your Christmas bills are paid. That's why it bothers me.
Of you, all the praises I might sigh. that all my life I'll give my all. No task will be too small, and nothing be above me if you love me.
Vietnam is fought in jungles, rice paddies, and villages, but it's also fought in the offshore waters and the rivers of the Mekong Delta. For the story of that river war, here is NBC correspondent Jack Russell.
Operation Game Warden is a mild name for the deadly warfare that goes on between U.S. Navy River Patrol boats, the PBRs, and the Viet Cong in the Mekong Delta. Armed with three 50-caliber machine guns, hunt day and night for the communist enemy and his supply sandpans where the Mekong River divides and redivides into a labyrinth of rivers. The patrol boats frequently are attacked from the jungle-lined shores by Viet Cong snipers, heavy automatic fire, and recoilless rifles. One Navy section of 55 men has been awarded 26 Purple Hearts since Operation Game Warden started 8 months ago in the Mekong Delta, where many believe the Vietnam War will be won or lost. The Viet Cong have a grudge fight on with patrol boats in the eastern Mekong Delta. Intelligence says they are trying to sink one to prove they still control the river. So far, they've failed to destroy a patrol boat in this area, but they scored hits on two from River Section 531. Gunner's mate Roy Bragg of Portland, Oregon, a survivor of that attack, has this to say.
It was quite late at night. Our patrol was making a sweep of an area that we had previously been told that there was bunkers in the area. On our way up, we had slight sniper fire, and we were planning just to return fire with a few M79s. As we were ready to return fire, all hell broke loose on both beaches. They hit us with 57 in our bow. They cut loose with 50s, 30 calibers, all kinds of weapons. My boat was hit, took a hit forward by a forward gunner, jarred everybody on the boat quite badly. A forward gunner got trapped on the back of his legs. It blew him right out of the gun tub. And all in all, it really didn't last too long for firefight.
It is still unknown how badly the Viet Cong is being hurt by the Navy's patrol boats. But it is known that the Viet Cong can no longer rule the rivers in their southern stronghold unchallenged. Jack Russell, NBC News, the Mekong Delta, South Vietnam.
Now, more Monitor music. Here's Vicky Carr. Now I Know the Feeling.
Now I know the feeling. I have dreamed of. And when I'm starting to think of the happiness that lies in store, the being wanted and needed and loved by someone more and more, I simply can't understand what my foolish heart was waiting for. Now I know the feeling of this wonderful glow of delight I never really believed in until tonight. Yes, now, I know the feeling love can bring you. And I could purr like a cat that's so satisfied its whiskers curl. Beat on the drum, sound the horns, and have the flags unfurled. It's like a party my happy heart's having with the whole wide world. And I could purr like a cat that's so satisfied its whiskers curl. Beat on the drum, sound the horns, and have the flags unfurled. It's like a party my happy heart's having with the whole wide world. Do 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 do. Ya lo sé, ya lo sé. He sentido, he sentido, ya lo sé.
Now, here's the NBC Marching and Inside Straight Society to tell you what program this is.
Monitor Radio, we hands on NBC.
You're tuned to Monitor at 16 minutes before the hour. Just ahead, we'll be hearing from comedian Shelley Berman as he makes a phone call to his friendly loan company. Stay with us, won't you? You're on the Monitor Beacon. Hello, Morgan here for Monitor, where we'll be hearing just ahead that the city of Paris has an air pollution problem, too. First, our Brazilian buddy Sergio Mendes with something for you called For Me.
Hey, there's a hum in the air. Hey, hey, the stars in a spin. Hey, something's saying out there. Hey, something's gonna begin.
Hey!
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark to date. Have a lark to date.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Now, monitor on stage. Star performances recorded at major nightclubs, theaters, and concert halls all around the country. Here, comedian Shelley Berman demonstrates just what it is that makes your friendly loan company so friendly.
Oh, hello. Is this still Easy Loan Finance Company? Oh, listen, you give information? Oh, good. Well, because I would like some information about the Easy Loan by the Telephone plan. The Easy Loan by the Telephone plan. Happy Dugan told me to call. Happy Dugan. You know, he's that guy, he's on in the morning on the radio, and he tells you what time it is and what the weather is like all the time, and he always tells you about the Easy Loan by the Telephone plan, and he says that, you know, when you call up, don't forget to mention that old Happy Dugan told you to call, you know. So I mention it. You know. Dugan. He's a guy, he's on in the morning, you know, on the radio, and he tells you what the weather is, So listen, could I talk to my pal, please? Well, Happy Dugan always says you have a pal at Easy Loan, so I wonder if I can talk to my pal, please. Oh, really? Oh, well, listen, pal, here's the thing, I understand that you can get up to $1,000 just by calling up, you know, so, well, I come in tomorrow, pick up my check, okay? Oh, I'm sorry. Will that be okay with you, Mr. Johnson? Well, sure, you have to ask a few questions. You know, I would expect you to get all these things. Tom, Dick, and Harriet falls off. You know, my name is Dick. Panettiere. Richard Panettiere. Yeah, RIPANNANTERRI. Panettiere. No, I'm Polish. Listen, how come you have to have all this information? I mean, the way I understand it from all of your advertising, the sound of my voice is my collateral. So how do I sound? You know, I have this little cold. I hope it doesn't affect our financial relationship. Listen, can I ask you a question? Is there any chance that I might have got connected with the wrong pal here? In other words, you're definitely my pal, right? Okay, well, listen, pal. Go take a flying jump for yourself, huh, pal? Goodbye.
Shelley Berman and Monitor on Stage.
Peekaboo, I do love you. You're the one girl for me. When I look into your eyes, I see my destiny. Peekaboo, what can I do? You're so fancy and free. Though I try, I can't disguise the hold you have on me. I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. Peekaboo, I'm Sally, you're the girl of my dreams. Please don't walk away and put an end to all my schemes. I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. I said that I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. Peekaboo, I'm telling you, you're the girl of my dreams. Please don't walk away and put an end to all my schemes. Peekaboo, bo-dee-o-dee-o-do.
And there you have it, folks. Another terrible number by the new vaudeville band, Peekaboo. Now another look at man's contamination of his environment. Here in America, pollution of our air and waterways has become a problem of national concern, but other countries have the problem too. One of them is France, as NBC correspondent Bernard Frizzell tells us in this report from Paris.
The victims are the fish, the poor innocent fish. A white scum forms on the waters of French rivers, and entire schools of fish simply die, killed by the polluted water. It is one of the penalties of the industrialization of France. Many factories in this country get rid of their chemical waste products the easy and inexpensive way by dumping them into nearby rivers. It is these products that produce a kind of fermentation in the rivers of France, which looks as if it had been created by a detergent or by a washing powder, and that kills the fish. It would be deadly to human beings, too, of course, and the French government is spending a lot of time, money, and ingenuity figuring out ways to keep their rivers from becoming polluted and of purifying waters that already are polluted. The obvious solution would be to forbid French industries to poison rivers, either by preventing them from dumping their waste products or by obliging them to purify waste products before dumping them. There are such laws in France, but they are not very often observed. Some progress in this direction is being made, but it is slow. Meanwhile, the French have been trying to resolve the problem by systems of filtering river water with grills to block floating objects and with bacterial elements which eat up the poisons in the water. Unfortunately, the poisons often eat up the bacteria, putting the pollution problem back in square one. The French have an equally tricky problem with air pollution. This is caused by gasoline fumes from automobiles and by sulfur dioxide from home heating plants. The fumes attack the stones of the monuments and buildings of Paris, and the city is engaged in a program to clean up its facades. Though there are regulations to use low sulfur coal and oil for heating, no basic solution for air pollution is in sight. The only radical solution, laughingly put forward, is to destroy Paris and rebuild it in the country so that it will have fresh air. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Paris.
More on the air and water pollution problem later on Monitor. the Bob's Crew generation, and a man and a woman. You're tuned to Monitor. Morgan reminding you, NBC News on the Hour coming up, following which we'll be back.
David Ben-Gurion, the former Prime Minister of Israel, will meet the press today on the NBC Radio Network.